Welcome to week four of our series called Heroes of Faith. In this series, we are looking at the list of the heroes of faith, the roll call of faith that the writer of the Hebrews writes in Hebrews chapter 11. So if you have a Bible, you want to open there and stay open with me throughout the morning, or follow us on our YouVersion event. You can go there and click and you can get all of our teaching notes there every week. Heroes of faith. What made these people in Hebrews 11 the heroes of faith? It wasn't what they did. It was what they believed. It wasn't their actions. It was their faith. Because of who they believed and because of their action of faith, they are listed in the roll call of the heroes of faith. And so far in this series, we began by looking at them in order as the writer writes them. And we started with Abel. And we found that Abel was a man who worshiped God with his heart. And because he worshiped from a pure heart or from a good heart, he worshiped with the right intentions, that God blessed him. Then we ran into Enoch. Enoch, if you remember his story, if you don't know it, Enoch is a man who walked so close to God that one day he went for a walk on this earth and he walked into paradise, into heaven. Enoch walked with God and then he was no more. He lived a life that demonstrated the faith in God that he had. And then last week we looked at Noah. And everybody seems to know the name Noah and the ark, Noah and the boat, Noah and the animals, two by two. But the Bible tells us that Noah was the only righteous man in his day. And because he was the righteous man of his day, God wanted to destroy the evil of the world, but he decided to save Noah and his family because of Noah's righteousness. And Noah is called by God to build this big boat, this ark, in the middle of the desert so that his family and the animals could be saved. That's Noah. Today we look at the next person on the list in Hebrews 11, and it's a man named Abraham. Abraham's story is unfolded for us way back in the first book of the Bible, the book called Genesis, between chapters 12 and 25, really sum up Abraham's story, but we don't have time to go through all those chapters this morning. The writer to the Hebrews in chapter 11 gives us four specific times in Abraham's life where Abraham had to exercise faith in God. We're going to quickly look at those and break it down and get an idea of Abraham's story. And it begins in Hebrews 11 verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Keep your Bibles open. We'll break this down as we go through the next few verses. In this verse, we're given a glimpse to the beginning of Abraham's story of faith. And we're told that by faith, Abraham traveled to a place he did not know. Let me give you a little bit of the story and go back to Genesis 12:1. It says this: the Lord said to Abram. Abram was Abraham's name before God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. So the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. In this verse, Abraham is given a divine command. He is called. Just like Noah was called to build the ark, Abraham was called to pack up everything that he had and travel to an unknown location. It's not like if we're picking up and traveling. You know, my parents are in the midst right now of, they've sold the house is being packed, they're relocating from Montreal to Ottawa because they want to be close to two of my other siblings so they're not alone anymore in Montreal. So they're packing up and leaving to a destination. That's not Abraham's story. God said to Abram, or we call him Abraham now, I want you to pack up your family and all that you own and everything that you have with you, I want you to pack it up and I want you to start out on a journey. It's time to leave your family. It's time to leave your homeland. And it's time to go to a place that I'll show you later. Think about it. So here's Abraham. He packs up everything that he has. All of his people. And his wife says to him, "Where are we going?" And he says, "I have no clue." Well, what kind of leader are you? I'm going to go where God tells me. Maybe God said, "You're going to go for an hour this way, turn right, go for an hour that way, turn left, go for an hour." I don't know. I really don't know how, but he was going to go to a place. He had to leave the security of everything that he knew. He had to leave the security of being around the people who were his relatives, his clan. He had to leave everything that he understood to follow God and go to an undisclosed location for a reason. But Abraham trusted God, that God would lead him to the place that God promised he would take him. And so we're told that Abraham packed up. Abraham obeyed and went. That's the first step of faith for Abraham in his life. It's the beginning not just of his physical journey, it's the beginning of his spiritual journey with God. And so Abraham goes. You see, God had a plan and a purpose for Abraham. God had a call and a destiny on Abraham's life. And Joshua begins to unpack this a little more in Joshua 24 verse 2. Joshua said to all the people, he's telling Israel about their past in this instance. He's telling them all that's transpired with Israel's past. As Israel is about to enter, as Israel under Joshua entered and took possession of the promised land, towards the end of Joshua's life here, he is reminding the people of their spiritual journey as a nation. He says, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and worshipped other gods." It would go on to say that Abraham left all that to come to a promised land. This verse is important because as we begin to understand Abraham this morning, we need to understand where he came from. And this verse gives us a glimpse into Abraham's background. You'll notice the last words, "and worshipped other gods." Abraham came from a family that worshipped other gods. They did not worship Jehovah or Yahweh. Same God, two different names. They did not worship the God that we sang about this morning. They did not worship the God that Abraham is known for following. They worshipped other gods. Maybe they even had idols. We don't know. They came from a family that worshiped many other gods. And so we're given a glimpse here that in order for God to work on Abraham's heart, in order for God to begin to build the promise and the destiny out of Abraham, he not only needed to take him out of his land, he not only needed to take him away from his family, he needed to take him away from those other false gods. So part of Abraham's journey isn't just walking into a new undisclosed location. It's walking into a place free of the worship of false gods so that Abraham's heart could be centered on the one true God. God reveals himself to Abraham as I am. God says to Abraham, "I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the one true God." In order for Abraham to be a true God follower, God had to take him out of the many God traditions of his family. And so he would have to not just leave them behind, he'd have to leave those false gods behind, and he begins to journey to an undisclosed location. God calls Abraham to leave his old life behind and start a journey of faith with him. See, God hasn't changed that call today. The same call that was to Abraham to leave the false gods of the past to walk into a new future with God. God still works at getting our attention. He does it in different ways at different times. We're all different, and God speaks to us and gets our attention differently. But God's call is always the same. Would you come into a relationship with me? God wants us to be true God worshipers. He doesn't want us to be false God worshipers. God calls us to walk away from the idols of our lives. Oh, but Pastor, I don't have no idols. You're right, you probably don't. Most of us probably don't have idols in our homes that we bow down to every morning and every night. But are there idols in our life? Are there idols in our life that are taking our focus off of God? Idols like status or money or careers or success or social media. Oh, I've got to see what I got to see what they're doing. I'm not even going to mention names this morning. Or we compare ourselves. We compare ourselves to those people who are just putting up an image. What are the idols of your life today? What are the things that are robbing you from a relationship with God? What are some of those things that have taken your focus and your attention and your drive and your energy away from serving God? See, the story of Abraham reminds us that sometimes we have to walk away from the things of our past in order to walk into a future with God. You have to leave your past. If you do not leave your past, it will stop you from going forward with God. Let's continue to look at Abraham's story. Verse 9 and 10 continues the story here. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations. Architect and builder is God. These verses tell us that by faith, Abraham made his home in the promised land. But it's not all that easy. Let me tell you a little bit. So when God calls Abraham to leave and go to a land that he would show him, God says to Abraham, I'm going to send you to a land that will be your inheritance. I'm going to send you to a land where your family will dominate and take control, possess and own that land. Remember those words. Your family will own that land. All there is Abraham. There is no family. There is no son. There is no heir. There is no people. There is nothing. But Abraham and his household, no children. And God says, I'm going to bring you to a place called the Promised Land. I'm going to build you into a great nation. And the Promised Land will be your homeland for this nation. See, the land was promised to him by God, but he never possessed it. You know what it is to possess something? It's to own it. You know what I mean? How many of you live in a house that you pay mortgage on? How many of you have finished paying your mortgage? So those who are paying mortgages, we don't own a thing. Let's be honest. Technically, the bank owns it. Yeah, except the bank doesn't come and do the roof job, right? But when you've paid your house, you've possessed it. It's similar. It's not the same, but it's close. Okay. We own the house. It's our names on those things. I get that. But it's not free and clear. Some of you will have your homes. They're now free and clear. They're yours. The land was promised to Abraham, but he never possessed it. He never owned it. His family did not own it in his lifetime. But God brought him to that place. As God journeyed him from his homeland to this place he would show him, at one point God kind of said, now, Abraham, look around. Everything you see, all of this is your inheritance. All of this is your land. All of this, your people will possess. But Abraham never owned any of the promised land, the Bible tells us, except for one little piece. The story is found in Genesis 23. His wife Sarah dies, and so that he can properly bury her, he buys a piece of land where he can bury her. That's the only piece of land Abraham ever owned in the promised land. He never owned it, yet Abraham lived in it. In fact, this verse that we just read said, he, Isaac, and Jacob, so Abraham, his son, and his grandson, they never owned the land. They lived in the land in tents. Tents gives us the idea that the dwelling is only temporary. Now, yes, I know tents were the common dwelling place for people in that time, but there were also times where people built cities and houses. And Israel would eventually live in homes and cities in the promised land, but not Abraham. Abraham lived in a tent. Abraham lived in a temporary dwelling. Abraham did not own the land. He just squatted on the land. He just pitched his tents. He was never able to buy any homes or build any cities. He just lived in tents. See, it's important for us to understand that Abraham knew that he was in the promised land, even though it didn't belong to him yet. But it was the promised land. It was promised by God to him. God had brought him there. God had shown him that. Abraham understood that he lived in a tent because Abraham's view was bigger than the moment that he lived in. Abraham's view was bigger than just the fact that all I'm doing is squatting in the promised land. Abraham had a view that one day God would come through with what God said, because God had already taken him from his homeland to a promised land. God had already showed him everything. God had already given him a promise of a son. God had already given him a promise of a nation. And although he knew he was living in a tent as a renter, as a squatter in the promised land, he knew that one day there'd be a nation. He knew that one day they would possess cities and houses in the promised land. He knew that one day he had an even bigger picture. He knew one day he'd live in the city of God, whose architect and builder is God himself. Abraham knew that although he journeyed through this life, although he had journeyed from a homeland to a promised land, although he was only squatting in a tent, he knew that there would come a day in his future where he would sit in the city of God, where he would spend in his time and his eternity in the presence of the living God who he was following. His eyes understood that what's here is temporary, but what's eternal is forever. He understood. By faith, Abraham lived in the promised land that was not his, while he longed for the city of God. That's the lesson we need to learn here from Abraham. That we're living in a land that's not ours. That we are just squatters in this land. That our final destiny is the city of God, whose architect and builder is God himself. We need to understand that our homes are just tents. That this life is just temporary. We need to understand there's a promised land for you and I. Heaven with Jesus himself. By faith, we live in this land looking forward to our promise of heaven and eternity. Do you live every moment of this life with the view of eternity ahead? Do you go through every day in this world? Do you wake up every day and just say, oh, rats, I got to go to work today? Or do you wake up every day with say, God, what have you got for me today? Do you wake up every morning with the dread of what another day is like? Or do you wake up in the morning with a view that whatever you're doing now is just getting you ready for your promised land? Do you understand that everything we have is just tents? until we come to the city of God. Abraham's story continues. Verse 11. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from one man, as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky and countless as the sand on the seashore. I told you, God had promised Abraham a land and a family. And here's the part of the story that we have to understand, that by faith, Abraham became a father. See, when God first tells Abraham he's going to be a father, he's got no children, he's 75 years old. Now think about it. Think about it. Think about being 75 and still waiting for your first child. Oh, but the story gets better. Because God promises him a son when he's 75. But the promise would take another 25 years. When Abraham is 100, he has his son of promise. We're even told about his wife Sarah. Sarah was too old to bear children, but God made a miracle in her womb. And she conceived and brought forth the son of promise. His name is Isaac. It took great faith in God for Abraham to hold on to that promise. Imagine, I'm 75 years old, you've promised me a son, and yet I still don't have one. I'm 80, you promised me a son, I still don't have one. I'm 85, it's been 10 years, you promised me a son, I don't have one. I think I didn't hear you right. I'm 90, I don't have a son of promise. God, did you really speak to me? I'm 95. Okay, God. Like, I'm too old to be chasing a toddler. I'm too old to be changing diapers. I'm too old to start all of this. I'm 95. God, are you sure? And the doubts begin. At least I would think they would. God, did I hear you right? Did you really mean that me and Sarah were going to have children? I mean, I'm 95 and she's not far behind me. I'm 99. God, are you sure I'm going to have a son? Are you sure I'm going to be the father of a great nation? How could I be the father of a great nation? I'm 99, I don't have any children. And at 99, God says, you're going to have a son. At 100, he has a son. By faith, Abraham became a father. He had faith. I don't know about you, but it's hard. Self-doubt has to come into the picture. We've all been there. There's times where, God, did you really say that? It's not like, God, did you mean that? It's like, God, did you say that? Did I really receive your word properly? Did I really hear what you meant, or did I only hear what I thought I wanted to hear? Have you ever had to wait for God's promise? Maybe you're still waiting. Abraham waited 25 years. I don't wish that on you. But sometimes you have to hold on to what you're believing for. Sometimes you've got to hold on to the promise of God and not let go. Have you ever lost faith during the process? I think we'd probably all lie if we said, yeah, we never lost faith in the process. I think somewhere along the line, we all have that self-doubt. Somewhere in the process of waiting for the promise, I think we all come to that place where, God, this has taken so long. Are you sure? Is this really what you have for me? But the story of Abraham. The story of Abraham speaks to those of you who are walking through a journey of faith right now. The promise of Abraham is the promise that you have. The same story of Abraham is the same story of your life. You see, Abraham stands here to tell you that you must believe, that you must hang on, that you must have faith, that you must not give up. Because he who speaks only truth. When God speaks, he does not lie to you. When God promises you, he does not take it back. And so verse 17 comes to the last part of the story today. It says, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, here's that promise, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. The fourth occasion for Abraham to believe. By faith, Abraham passed the test. Oh, we don't like that word. I have an evangelist friend in the States, and he says, there's no testimony without the test. By faith, Abraham passed the test. See, one day, God spoke a difficult word to Abraham. Now understand, this is years later. This is years after the first test of leaving the promised land, or leaving his father's house to go to the promised land. And after the promise of seeing the promised land, of living in tents and way past that, where he's journeyed, he's been given a son of promise, he waited 25 years, and Isaac is probably at least a young teenager. By the time this story unfolds, it's decades that Abraham's been walking with God. And God says to Abraham, one day asks him a difficult thing. God says to him, take your son, your one and only son. It's an amazing phrase, isn't it? Because God gave his one and only son. But God sacrificed Jesus totally. Where God saves Abraham's son. It's a whole other picture, but I wanted you to see it at least. Take your one and only son, Isaac. From who's Isaac? Isaac is the seed of promise. Isaac is the one from whom a nation will come. Isaac is the one that he waited all those years for. Isaac is the one that he held on to faith for. Take your son Isaac, who most scholars believe is a young teenager at least, and they go about 3 days' journey from home up to a mountain and build an altar and prepare the wood and then tie up your son and put him on the altar. God gives Abraham a difficult word. Hebrews, what we just read, tells us that this was a test. After everything that he had waited for, it's a test. And then we're given a glimpse into Abraham's faith. That even if he killed Isaac, catch this, that even if he killed Isaac in obedience to God, that God would raise Isaac from the dead because he had his knowledge and the faith of God, that God said, Isaac is the son of promise. Isaac is the seed of the nation. Therefore, God cannot kill Isaac. So even if I do, God will raise him. That is faith. Abraham passed the test. He obeyed. He obeyed. He takes, if you don't know the story, he takes Isaac and they go up and Isaac says, Dad, where's the sacrifice? And all Abraham says is, God will provide. Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. And he ties him up, puts him on the altar. And I'll tell you, I'm no hero of faith because I don't think I could do that to any of my kids. Faith or no faith, belief or no belief. And the Bible tells us he takes the knife and he raises it over him. And at that very moment, God said, stop. For I know that your heart is for me above everything. I'm paraphrasing. And there, off to the side, was a ram caught in the bushes that God said, sacrifice the ram. By faith, Abraham passed the test. He knew what God had promised. And he knew that God would deliver on his promise. He says to us, God does what God says. God keeps his promises. God is the God of his word. You can count on that. You need to remember that God is the God of his word. What are the promises that God has made to you? What are the things that God has pushed into your spirit and into your heart that you know come from the word of God, but you've just got to hold on and believe? What are those things that God has planted deep inside your spirit that you're just waiting for that tree to grow and take root? What are those things? Or have you lost faith in his word? Have you wondered? Have you said, God, I have waited long enough, I'm done waiting. By the way, there's another story of Abraham where he tried that and it didn't work well. Have you ever said to God, I don't like doing it your way? God, like I got shortcuts that you're skipping here, God. Like, you didn't really mean that, God. And God often whispers into our spirit, I meant it. Hold on. Your timeline is not my timeline. I hate that one. Do you feel like the wait has been too long? How do you think Abraham felt at 75 waiting for a son? 25 years. If God said it, he will do it. If God promised it, he will deliver it. Worship team, would you come back, please? Abraham's life speaks to us about living by faith. See, there were many times that God asked Abraham to step out in faith. There were many opportunities for Abraham to stop believing God. Just think about it. How many times could he just said, this is too hard. This is too long. This is too difficult. There were many times when Abraham could have given up, but he didn't. You see, Abraham trusted God all the way through. Are you willing to trust God in faith? Are you willing to trust God in faith? Abraham's story here speaks to us. The writer to the Hebrews gives us four specific instances in Abraham's life where Abraham had to have faith in God. And these stories aren't just so that we could have nice, wonderful stories, you know, Sunday school stories, something to preach on. No. These stories are given to us to show us that we too could have faith in God. We need to understand, like Abraham, that we need to hear the word of God and we need to obey. See, it's one thing to just hear it. The point is to obey it. Abraham could have heard the very first word, leave your family, go to a place I'll show you. He could have not obeyed that. Nothing else would have happened. See, not only do we need to hear, but we need to obey God. We need to have our eyes and our hearts set on things of eternal value. Let's be honest. We get caught up in the trappings of the world. We all do. I included. Just yesterday, I went to a few stores looking for a new phone device. Because mine's getting old. It's not old. It's 2 years old. It's glitching. It's got some problems, but it's still working. I don't need a new phone. I just might want one. But we get caught up. That's just a simple explanation. We get caught up in the things of this world. But Abraham says, remember, you're living in a tent. That this earth is not our home. That we're just passing through. We're just hanging out in our tents on this piece of land. But our home is the one whose architect and builder is God. And we need to live in this world so we could be ready for that world. The only thing you can take with you, by the way, to heaven are other people. Your cell phones don't go. Your fancy cars don't go. Your big houses don't go. Your fishing rods don't go. Your hockey sticks don't go. Your basketballs don't go. Your shoes don't go. The only thing we could take to heaven is other people. That's why we have the big give. To share the love of God in a tangible way. So when somebody says, why are you doing this? We're doing this because God loves you. Abraham's story reminds us that we need to hang on to the promises of God. We need to hang on to the promises that God has spoken over our lives. You need to hang on to the things that God has put in you. You need to hang on to the things that God has spoken to you. You need to hang on to the things that God has been showing you. You need to hang on and hang on to God until God says to let go, and not 1 second earlier. You need to have faith that God is the God of His word. Have faith in His promises, no matter how many times things look impossible. Even when you're called to sacrifice that which He gave you, you have to be willing to trust God that He will turn it around for His glory. Are you willing to trust God in faith? Would you stand with me this morning? What is it that you need to trust God with right now? What is it that you're facing at this very moment in your life? What is it that you're battling with? Is it a health issue? Is it a financial issue? Is it a relationship issue? What is it that you're battling with right now? What is it that you've kind of taken your eyes off of God and you've put your eyes on your circumstance? What is it right now that you're battling with? Where you've looked around at your situation or your circumstance and you say, God, this is impossible. I give up. But Abraham stands here to tell you, you must never give up. You must never forget. You must always believe. You must always have faith. What is it that you are fighting with right now? What is it that you're believing for right now? Are you willing to trust God in faith? What is it today that you need to give to God? I ask you to close your eyes. And I just want to make this simple. But if there's something that you're fighting with, if there's an area in your life that you're battling with God about, I want you to think of Abraham. All that he went through. Yeah, he had his mistakes and his failures. You'll notice that probably all of those people listed in Hebrews 11 all had failures and shortcomings, yet God listed them there. There are heroes of faith for a reason. What is it today that you need to give to God? What is it today that you need to restore your faith? What is it today that you need to hang on to God for no matter what? With all your eyes closed. If that's you this morning, I want you to lift both hands to heaven and say, God, I'm giving it to you. Say, God, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you right here, right now. I'm giving you my problem. I'm giving you my faithlessness. I'm giving you my struggles. And as I give it to you, I want you to just restore my faith. Restore my hope. Just let me hang on to your word. Father, you see all the hands that are lifted.